Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we are happy you have joined us. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
Pray that everybody out there is doing well, too, those that are listening and those that are not.
Yes, I hope so, too. And our gospel this morning is from St. Luke. So, Bishop, if you would now proclaim that for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own self-righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, in looking at this gospel, I looked at it and it kind of gave me an opportunity for some introspection. How do I pray? You know, I'm a little bit like the tax collector sometimes, and sometimes I'm a little bit like the Pharisee. This gospel offers us an opportunity to really look at the way we pray.
Well, that's a good way of putting it, self-introspection, but it went to the extreme. You might say he was praying to himself, praying in his own, wrapped up in his own introspection. But then he took it to an extreme in justifying himself. And so his position was one of self-justification. We all want to be justified in front of God, but that comes from another means, not from our checklist of just doing certain externals. So religion is not about externals, and this is something that we always have to struggle with, that, you know, even with our liturgies, the way that the Church has handed them down through the centuries, through the celebration of the Eucharist, reading of the Word, the Gloria, and on all these external expressions, they have to originate and come from the internal, interior life of the individual person of faith, but also as a community. And so liturgy is not show. It's not a time for us to just praise God with externals. It's a time for us to express what is internal in an external forum, you might say, and to bring what is internal to the external form so that because we're a community and so we pray together. I mean, you can imagine if there was no liturgy in the sense of an external expression of the life and of the Church's faith, and we all came into the cathedral or to the parish church and prayed our own way. Be chaos. It wouldn't be prayer to God. So we have a unifying dimension of prayer called liturgy. And so we bring ourselves. But what's important here is that we not come in and say, wow, look what I did today. I did this for you. I did this week. So that we're just going into ourselves and justifying what we have done for God as if we can do anything for God. God doesn't need anything from us. It's we who need to give ourselves to him. And then he responds, obviously, as he always has. So paying tithes and all these kind of things that we talk about, which is just self-glorification. So what we find in the first man in the temple area is self-justification. praying to God, but really praising himself. But it's the second one who did not even look up, who stood at a distance, beat his breast, and said the simple prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is heartfelt. That is from the heart. That originates in the spirit of this man who knows that perhaps he has cheated people this week. As a tax collector, he may have cheated people this week. He may have been unmerciful to somebody who couldn't pay the whole tax, whatever, but also at home. And he realizes he is aware of himself. The other one is not even aware of himself. He's just aware that he's done all these great things, but he's not aware of who he is. And that's a great distinction. But here, this tax collector is aware of who he is and also aware of what he did. But he knows that what he did, whatever the sin is, it says, I am a sinner. He knows that it comes from the fact that he that was something not right within himself. So he is aware that within himself, he's not justified in front of God at this point.
So he's asking for mercy.
Right. Right. Which and it's beautiful to note, and I'm just getting off the point a little bit, but this prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is really at the heart of what has been called the Jesus Prayer, something that was very popular in Eastern Christianity for years. Mm-hmm. And it basically went, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it was repeated over and over throughout the day. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have pity on me, a sinner. Some form of that. But it really, again, accentuates the fact that we know who we are. We know that we are sinners.
Well, we talked about this many times when people say, oh, you don't need to go to church, but we're in church because we're sinners. And we hope to get better and to grow.
Exactly. I mean, we have to start there. That's not putting ourselves down. That's not beating ourselves up. It's simply a reality. And it's because we're sinners, we recognize the mercy of God, which is a great gift, and it lifts us up. And so we are alive in his mercy, not alive in our sin. So it's not a negative. It's a positive. It's simply, that's who I am. And it's a call to us, an invitation to us to lift up our hearts, our minds, our eyes in prayer.
I had read something somewhere that was a bit of a challenging question. It said the question to ask is not, am I as good as my neighbor? The question to ask is, am I as good as God?
Well, yeah, and you know, it's a good question, but we end up comparing ourselves so much to everyone else on all things. I mean, you know, the Joneses have it, the Smiths don't, the Garcias, you know, live this way, and you know, the Lopez's don't. I mean, it's all these kind of things. We make these comparisons with people, you know, the whole thing of keeping up with the Joneses in whatever culture, however they say it. But it's not about comparing and looking at the other person. It's about being, justification is being in front of God as a man or woman of faith. How much do you trust God? Or as you said, how much am I like God? Because Jesus said you must become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But that's being perfect in love, in charity, in loving your neighbor, in being outside of yourself, as Pope Francis calls us over and over to go beyond ourselves. Because you can see the epitome of that is in the Pharisee who was inside of himself and couldn't get beyond himself. That's being entrapped. That's being locked in the cage when you can't get outside of yourself and see that your neighbor is someone that may be in need or somebody that just needs a pat on the back or a nice phone call. That's being outside of yourself. And that I would believe that the tax collector was able to recognize. He was not locked up in himself. He knew that his life depended on God. And that's where all of his activities and really found their origin, was in God.
And Bishop, you had talked about the Jesus Prayer a while back, and you said that it was something so easy for us to do, even when we're driving to work or maybe we're waiting somewhere for an appointment at a stoplight somewhere, and we just say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You don't have to say the whole prayer, but God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and then reflect.
Yeah, or just Jesus mercy. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. You don't have, I mean, it can evolve into, and that's why it's called the Jesus Prayer, because in most forms, it ends up by just the word Jesus. I remember very vividly. I was introduced to the prayer when I was in the seminary, and one afternoon I was just taking a walk in the park near the seminary in Rome, and it kind of looked over the city, and I was practicing it, and I just got to the point of Jesus. You know, every once in a while I would just say Jesus, and it was amazing. It was like, you know, you could see creation as all things were created through him and for him and in him. I mean, you could just see like he was there behind everything and the people with the children, families walking in the park with children. You could just see the presence of God in that. And so this parable really brings that out to us, that it's a valid prayer. Just the holy name of Jesus, just saying his name. Mm-hmm. Really can show that our dependence is on him. We're not locked into our own self. And I think a real point here before we conclude this portion is something that is obviously, well, it's evident from this part of the gospel, that the proud cannot pray. You know, the proud, which means I'm locked into myself, cannot pray because they can't get beyond themselves. And so what is required here, and this is what I'd like to talk about in the second portion, is humility, the virtue of humility. That is so fundamental to our life of charity, to our life of faith, to our life of hope. If you don't have humility, you can't even hope. But it's our ticket and our way to prayer as well.
Very true. Thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and we will continue our conversation on humility. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. It is the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we are focusing on humility. And Bishop, you had mentioned before the break that humility is the foundation of prayer.
Yes. Well, I gave a retreat in the Diocese of Tucson in Arizona. And as I was preparing before I went, looking at the other talks, I thought, you know, what we need to look at perhaps more, and as priests, I told the priest, I said, you know, what I'm going to say really is valid for all of us, that the foundational virtue for any of us, priest, sister, deacon, husband, wife, man, woman, child, is humility, because it's foundational in the whole mystery of the incarnation. Though he was from Philippians, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not hold on to that identity. He humbled himself and became like one of us, and even died on the cross. So that whole hymn from Philippians brings out the real movement of humility in the incarnation of Jesus, stripping himself of his divinity, becoming like us, sharing our human life, and even suffering the passion death on the cross, but God raised him up on the last day. So you can see that that the end of this gospel in chapter 18 in verse 14, I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself or herself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So one of the things we can get from that, if we don't humble ourselves, God will do it for us. Sometimes we recognize things happen in our life and we say, why did God do that? Well, he may love you so much that he wants to humble you. And that's one way that we have to look at that. Why did I fail? Maybe God wants to humble you. You know, why didn't he give me what I wanted? Maybe he wants to humble you. So this is because God loves us. And I think we truly need to recognize that. Because St. Paul also said before he wrote that hymn in chapter 2 of Philippians, beginning in the 6th verse of chapter 2, In verse 5, he says, your attitude must be that of Christ. Your attitude has to be humility, has to begin with humility. That's where it all begins. And so this attitude of Christ, this humility that he shows us, is what transforms us into the image of Christ, ourselves, being ourselves. So there are many roads to achieving humility. I mean, in the past, you know, we see people going into the desert. We see people kind of beating themselves because of their sins. But all of those things, fasting, prayer, all of these things are part of humility. But we have to be careful that we're not proud in our humility, you know, that like the Pharisee, I've done all these things, so I'm humble. Well, no, maybe not, because humility means that I have more faith. It's the foundation of having more faith, being more hopeful, and being more charitable, reaching out beyond ourselves. So all of these things are part of that process of God's, the divine process of making us, humbling us in the image of Jesus Christ.
Because humility, I think we talk about it a lot, but it's a very hard word to define because it can mean something so different to everyone. For instance, if someone is doing charitable works, humility would really, it's really not about telling everyone what you did, but it's the silence and the peacefulness in your heart that humility, genuine humility, will lead you to.
Well, you know, I think there's a key to, I would say, achieving, because it's really a gift. But I think that there's things that we can do. And I would take you back to that second chapter of Philippians, where St. Paul says something that's very striking and yet probably overlooked way too much. And he says there, put yourself in front of everyone, seeing them as better than yourself. In other words, another way of saying it is put yourself as smaller in front of the other. You know, go to Mother Teresa's shelter and just be there with the people that are served there and make yourself small in front of them. Now, you might say, well, I have this job and that job. But I was there the other day, and I just amazed at the number of people in our city who are there to serve. And you can see there's a spirit of humility there, you know, not so I can check it off my list. Well, look what I did, you know, for the homeless of our city. But they're really there to serve. I mean, it really impresses me and touches me. And they become friends with the homeless, our citizens without homes, you know, and they see them as just one of us, which is what it should be. So I think that's really the beginning of a true sense of humility, is putting yourself lower than any brother or sister, a child. You know, how many of us think we're too sophisticated and too old to play with a child? But if a child wants to play, well, play. This is the road to humility, is to pull down all the faces and the guards that we build up because of our education, because of our position, because of our age, whatever it is. We're all children of God, and it's the great way to do it. I don't know if I'm talking too much here, but I came up in giving this retreat six things that I just was praying about. And saw that, you know, without humility, these are the things that we can notice in ourselves when we don't have humility. So I think it's kind of like an examination of conscience to look at. And the first one is the opposite of what I was just talking about, that first of all, we can feel superior to people, that we can kind of put ourselves above, that I have this position, or I'm your mother, I'm your father, which we need that firmness in our life. But we also love you. We're here to serve you. So that's one. The second is impatience. We become very annoyed with people. We don't want to be around them, whatever, you know, but we become annoyed with our neighbor. And our neighbor is really is a gift to this whole process of humility, because without our neighbor, we don't see ourselves. That's secondly, so impatience. The third is we become critical, sarcastic, judgmental. I'm sorry, that's the fourth one. So critical and sarcastic. You know, when somebody's not there and we're gossiping about them and being critical about what they wear, about where they go, who their friends are, or just sarcastic, you know, saying things that are kind of covering up our own pain. And that's basically what sarcasm is, covering up our own pain in saying something about someone else or etc. The fourth is being judgmental. How easy it is and how true it is what Jesus said in the gospel about it's easy to see the splinter in someone else's eye and not see the plank in my own. And so it leads us to judgment, which again is an insecurity that I can judge others and I'm not even looking at myself. And so that means that that spirit of humility is absent there. The fifth is expecting things from other. You know, they didn't call me. So again, it's self-focus when we expect things from others. We should expect nothing. In fact, the word of life for this month that we've talked about is owe no one except the debt to love one another. So the only debt, the only thing that I owe anyone or that anyone owes me is love. And so to expect other things from other people, that they take the initiative, is a sign that perhaps humility is not alive in me, that pride perhaps is. And the sixth one I would just say, and there's probably more, but these are what I came up with, is self-indulgence. Materially, morally, we can just be self-indulgent, which is really a sign of our own pride or our own self-focus and not the other. The humble person does not give in to self-indulgence. We all sin, but either materially, financially, whatever, we just can overdo it and focus on ourselves. So in all of that, really, if we looked at those six things, and I'll say them again quickly, feeling superior to others, being annoyed by others, being impatient, critical and sarcastic, judgmental, expecting things from other people, and being self-indulgent. All of these show that the attitude of Christ is less than alive within me, and certainly it's through prayer, asking God to change my heart, convert my heart, so that I can have the attitude of Christ who humbled himself for us. And then we will be exalted, as Jesus says in the gospel.
Thank you for that, Bishop. Thank you for these 6 points, because it is a wonderful way for us to really do that examination of conscience and to sort of check ourselves to be more aware of our actions and to not focus on ourselves, but to instead genuinely seek humility.
Exactly.
Thank you, Bishop. And for the latest news about what's happening around the diocese, you can check out diocesecc.org. The Catholic Connects calendar is on there, among many other great resources. So again, we invite you to check out our website. Again, diocesecc.org. Bishop, if you would now close the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty, ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, that we may merit what you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.